So I found it quite a challenging passage, actually, to look at. But let's see what we can glean from it. About 2 years ago, I came back from church at Biddeford, and somebody gave me a lift back and dropped me off at my house. And we were just chatting for a few minutes. And a neighbour come up behind, someone known for about 25 years. We were just sort of blocking because, you know, just waiting for a minute. So we finished the conversation, the neighbour parked, and then the person went away, dropped me off. So I said, oh, sorry for blocking your drive. So I was surprised because the lady came past me and said, call yourself a Christian, and marched into her house. And I thought, well, I was quite shocked, actually, because it wasn't somebody I'd just met or anything. We'd been neighbours for years. And, of course, it was a bit sort of, I'm thinking, well, where did that come from? And after some reflection, you see, when people do something like that to us, we've got to choose how we respond, haven't we? And I know from other neighbours that if a neighbour upsets so the other neighbour, she's decided not to speak to him anymore, and that's the end of it. And I thought, well, what's the suitable response? And I thought, well, I wonder why she sort of erupted like that. Was it because I apologised for, you know, holding him up for a couple of minutes? Or what? And then I thought, well, you know, perhaps she's just had a bad day. But it's just interesting how we get challenged as Christians, isn't it? Yeah? We get challenged in these challenges. And it's not so so much why, it's how we respond, I think. So I found this scripture quite good for me to study and look at, really. And if you like alliteration, I've got three C's which come out of this passage. And the first one is confidence, as you'll find in there. I was reading from the Good News version, but whatever version you are, I think the words will still be there. So the first one is confidence. The second one is conscience. And the third one is command. So our reading says, verse 19, this then is how we will know that we belong to the truth. This is how we will be confident in God's presence. So that's what I was thinking about. So how can I be confident in God's presence? Especially when bad things happen to you, when people sort of abuse you for no particular reason. How can we be confident? And I thought, well, the first thing is to focus on God. If go back 18 months, and I, like a lot of other people, used to follow the daily numbers of people dying from COVID. Now, I got to the stage where it was like bringing me down and making me feel bad. So I had to stop doing that, as many thousands of others did, I guess, to listen to it every day. Because what I was doing was, you see, I was looking downwards. I was focusing on these numbers, and it was dragging me down. Anybody recognize that? Yeah, you know, that you just focus. So our first thing is focus on God, not just on what's happening. Because if we focus on God, we get a different perspective on life. Is that fair? Get a different perspective focusing on God. Do you remember that chorus? He's got the whole world in his hands. Do you remember that one? And you might think, oh, it's just a simple chorus, but there's a lot of truth in that. Because we believe that God created this world and God's got everything in his hands. And if we focus on God instead on mayhem, what's happening around us, I find it lifted my spirits. So that's the first thing about being confident in God. Second thing I thought was, ask God for his gift of wisdom and discernment. You see, I don't trust what politicians say. I'm not being political this morning, I'm just saying I don't trust what they say, because they don't always speak the truth. So in order for us to work out what is the truth in our lives, we need God to help us. And what I thought was, I need God's wisdom and discernment, as you do. And if we ask God for his gifts, we can then separate the wheat from the chaff. Do you understand that metaphor? We can find out the truth for ourselves. We can, within our spirits, we can find out what's right and what's wrong if we've got those gifts. So being confident in God is about asking God to fill us with his Spirit, give us the gift of wisdom and discernment. Being confident in God. Appreciate God's creation. One of the things that has got me through the 18 months is I started doing a daily walk and taking my camera with me. And each day I go out, sometimes, you know, I got a couple of routes, but just seeing all the different flowers grow and the seasons for the flowers, taking pictures with my camera. Appreciate God's creation. And sometimes we need to slow down a bit and to actually look around. I went with a cousin of mine for this walk, and he was just marching along like this because he just wanted to get the walk done, come back for a coffee. This was like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. He didn't stop, and I said, look at that over there. And he said, oh yeah, look. And do you see what I mean? He just had his blinkers on because he just wanted to walk and get it done. So take time to appreciate God's creation and what he's given us as individuals. And to emphasize what I said about looking up, look upwards and not downwards all the time as Christians. And I think in reading just a verse, that one I said, 46 verse 10, Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That's quite a powerful verse for me, but it means something. It means that we need to take time to be still and not rushing around all the time from news report to news report and all our worries, but to be still at times and know that I am God. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6, and this is talking about thanksgiving, says, Philippians 1, verse 3 to 6, and this is about thanksgiving and thanking God. It says, I thank God every time I remember you. It's talking about we're talking about the letter going to the church, so this is what's being said, this is what Paul is saying. I thank God, my God, every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Well, what a wonderful thing to say. Imagine that letter being read out to the people, because they were all read out, weren't they, these letters. Imagine what they must have felt like when Paul said he appreciates their partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. So you see, we can be confident that God hasn't finished with us yet, that God loves us, that he will finish the work that he started in us all those years ago when we chose to follow Jesus. So the second C then, examine your conscience. So we're picking up again the first verse, 1 John 3:19. I'll just read the first verse again. It says, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth. This is how we will be confident in God's presence. If our conscience condemns us, we know that God is greater than our conscience and that he knows everything. And so, my dear friends, if your conscience does not condemn you, or condemn us, we have courage in God's presence. I examine my conscience with that little incident with my neighbour. And I thought, really, I didn't really do a lot wrong there. And I did sort of say, oh, you know, sorry for holding you up for a couple of minutes. And they had to park a few yards down the road. So it's about that. It's about us looking inwards at times and saying, well, when people do have a go at us, just have a look at our consciences. Let's look upwards to God and see what he says. You see, because what we need to remember as Christians is God loves us. And it was mentioned last week, wasn't it, about God's love and the different types of love. Well, that's quite a big thing to know, that God loves us. We've got options. So if our conscience condemns us, it's said in that word, God is bigger than that. If we just look upwards towards God and remember his love, we know that we can ask God for forgiveness and we can move on with God. So I remind you of a verse that you all know very well, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. Let's just pause a minute. For God so loved the world. Is that still true, do you think, in September 2021? Right now. Does God still love the world? Does God love include places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, as well as us in the UK? Is God's love big enough to love the whole world? Well, remember, God's got the whole wide world in his hands. So with God's love, it's a sacrificial love, and God's got the ability to love mankind who he created. When God looks down at the earth, what does he see? He sees, I'm talking about the whole earth rather than just the UK. He sees a disparity between rich and poor. I've said this before here, but I always feel privileged to drink a drink of water. Why? Because it's clean, hasn't got germs in it. And I know that in other parts of the world, water is not clean, and people have got to drink water with germs in it. That's so amazing. There's such a disparity in the world when God looks down. He sees a world torn apart by wars. Current situation in Afghanistan, don't know the rights and wrongs, but there's endless wars in some part of the world. There doesn't seem any answer to it, does there? Whatever anybody tries to do. God sees a basic selfishness in our human nature. The part of us that wants to put us first and everybody else last. That's what God sees. And he sees the world's natural resources being squandered. And that there's some things now I understand that are running out in some resources that's running out in God's world. Because we're using it all up. And yet, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Now, bearing in mind who God is, God knows human nature. And yet, in some wonderful way, he chose to love us. Not because we were good enough, but because he chose to love us. That means that somehow he manages to love the world even though we've messed up. You see, there's a dichotomy between God's love and man's love. And we found it last week with Alan Thorpe. God's love is sacrificial and everlasting. And man's love is transient and fickle. Because that's what we're like as people. But God's love is not like that. So when we start when we examine our consciences, let's remember God's love for us. Let's remember God's forgiveness for us because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's remember God's mercy, and let's remember God's grace. Because when we mess up, as we all do, we've got that way of coming back to God. He doesn't just turn his back on us. John remembers this in John 3, verse 1, a little bit earlier. It says, so this is, hang on, I'll just get the right one. This is 1 John 3, verse 1, a little bit earlier in this passage, where John says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Just want to read that again, because it's 1 John 3, verse 1. No, it's not. It's 1 John 3. Hang on a minute. Where are we? It's John 3, verse 1, NIV. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That gives me a little bit of encouragement, because people who don't know God, they don't know God's love. And somehow, we as Christians need to share that love with others. And part of that is about how we respond to people when they abuse us and call us names and things. And in Matthew 11, verse 28, got the verse right in that one, Jesus says, come to me when you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So again, instead of looking down, we're looking up, and we're actually come to Jesus and tell him how we feel. So the thought I have was for us and for me, got to take my own advice, take some time this week to examine your own conscience, as I will, and to thank God for his love and to appreciate what he has done for all of us. Just take a few minutes, even today, even this afternoon. So my last C is commands. Follow God's commands. So 1 John 3, verses 23 to 24. What he commands that we belong in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what we command is that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as Christ commanded us. Those who obey God's commands live in union with God, and God lives in union with them. So, as you know, the great commandment that Jesus gives when he was challenged by the teachers of the law to say, what's the greatest command? What's the most important command? And Jesus replied, the most important one is that, listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only God. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important command is this: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we are to love, if I am to love my neighbor, and if you are to love your neighbor as yourself, I just think I need a bit of help. If I'm going to believe in God, which I do, sometimes I need a bit of help for that, to believe when times are tough. And I need to ask God for his love so that I can share it with others. Do you remember, you might have read it years ago, The Hiding Place with Corrie ten Boom? Anybody read that book? You've read it, is it? I just remember the bit where she took the meeting and she came through all the concentration camps, she took the meeting, and suddenly in front of her she recognised one of the camp's guards and she had to go and shake people's hands after. And she said she couldn't do it. And then she had to ask God for that love, and she shook his hand and she just felt God's love come through her. We can't love our neighbour as ourselves unless we got that love from God. So we need to be asking God to give us that those gifts, that gift of love, in order to pass it on to others so that we can make the right response. Today, more than ever, we need God's wisdom and God's discernment, which I said before, to make good choices. We need God's love in our hearts so that we can share it with others, especially when things become difficult, when people are, you know, horrible to us. We need God's peace in our hearts, the peace that passes all understanding. And that's the bit where we sometimes need to stop and rest in God and stop rushing around. We just need to spend some time appreciating God's creation, etc., like I said before. Just take some time to rest in God's love. And we need God's Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, because we can't do it in our own strength. So, in conclusion then, with this passage, John reminds us to be confident, this is the three C's, to be confident in God's truth, to examine our consciences, and to follow God's commands. And I think as we pray to God and ask him for his help, we can do those things today. Amen. Shall we just pray before we sing our last song? Heavenly Father, to me that was a difficult passage of scripture, but there's a lot of positive in it. And I just pray that as we think and read it for ourselves, that you would impress on us what you want us to learn this morning. And most of all, Lord, that you would help us to look upwards and not downwards. You'd help us to ask God to fill us afresh, and that we would accept all the love you've got for us to be able to pass it on to others. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So shall we then sing our last song?